Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. ESPNU, where they can see Jay standing up. Jay just had it with sitting down.
I can't sit down anymore, man. We sit down for 5 hours
a day.
What do you
have, First Take today?
No. No First Take. This is how I just dress to come to work.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, excuse me.
What do you think is so fancy about what Jay is
wearing?
He's got
sweater.
It's not even a
V-neck. I didn't say
anything
about it. I said, does he have First Take today? I didn't say anything about what he's wearing.
Yeah, we did jump on Key just now about something else.
You pointed out the sweater. I didn't say anything about your sweater.
Yeah, Max, you pointed out the sweater.
Yeah, Max. Wait a minute.
I was still laughing at Kodak Black. That's all.
What are you laughing at?
About whether he lives in Calabasas or not.
Project Baby living in Calabasas now. I just made me laugh. That's all.
I haven't seen you in Calabasas, Kodak. Huh? Seen everybody in Calabasas.
No, man. It's rap, man. Let him do what he's doing. I'm sure he's behind one of them big old giant gates up there somewhere.
You know who can afford to live in Calabasas?
No, we don't know who can afford to live in Calabasas.
Yeah. Financial terms were not disclosed.
Get this guy off the court.
Financial terms were not disclosed. You know, Derek Carr's deal.
Why are you standing up, Jay?
With the Saints. He just said it. Why are you standing up? He asked you again.
Because I choose to stand for what I believe in, Max.
your back hurt?
Why did you change your voice?
I don't know. I just gave him the fist pump. Because my butt hurts, man.
All right,
down
never
for 5 hours
along.
A day. I see you cross your legs.
Listen,
you got lower back injuries.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Stand up. Stretch your back.
It'd be weird.
Stand up for what you believe in, Max.
Yeah, stand up for what you believe in, Max.
All right, maybe I'll stand up.
There goes the voice.
Wouldn't be
kid.
Bad
You're
to
right.
stand up for a segment. As a matter of fact, Jay might be on to something.
I'm telling you.
Jay, well, he was. He said the seat is too hard.
Yeah, I don't like it.
He don't like the seat.
Key, don't. Okay.
What?
I got to save you from yourself before you start
going
down
the
path.
You ain't got to save me. I'm good.
Key, you mentioned earlier in the show.
I don't have to worry about you. You're the one worried about the backcourt, not me.
Stop with the backcourt comments.
You mentioned earlier in the show that the financial terms were not disclosed, and yet somehow we have the financial terms, right, of Derek Carr's deal. They're not disclosed. Now, let me give you the terms.
Yeah.
Sources told ESPN that Derek Carr agreed to a deal. Let me start with what's relevant here, okay? He receives $60 million fully guaranteed at signing and another $10 million once he starts year three of the deal. So the bottom line is he'll earn $60 million in the first 2 years of the deal. That's the deal. The deal is a $60 million deal. Now, what will be reported is that it's potentially worth $150 million and includes $100 million up to $100 million in guarantees. But meantime, it's a $60 million deal, $30 million a year. Right, Key? Would you say that's the right read if you see that?
Yeah, 2 years, $60
million. So, is that the right read for an elite quarterback?
Well, it's not. It's the right read for him because that's his number he was getting from the Raiders. If he'd have stayed under the same contract with the Raiders, that's basically what he was getting.
Okay.
He basically just didn't do the Raiders a favor by giving them any compensation for trading him to New Orleans.
Yep.
He visited New Orleans, I don't know, about a month or so ago. That was the first team that he was allowed to visit under the Raiders. Then he told the Raiders, I'm not pushing back this date that you guys have to guarantee me this $40 million over the next 2 years. So screw you. You bench me. That's on y'all. And then they had to release him. And then he got the pick choice of the team that he wanted to go to. So it's the same money. It's not like he's getting new money and more money or anything. It's the same money.
Was this the right choice for Derek Carr?
What was the other choices other than the Jets?
The Jets, right? The
I mean,
Saints.
Carolina. I think he visited Carolina, didn't he? Or he talked to him or something?
I got the distinct impression that the Jets let him know you're the backup plan, and the Saints were like, we want you, right? And that's probably –
Well, you
got to
remember, too, there's a relationship with Dennis Allen. Dennis Allen drafted him when he was with the Oakland Raiders at the time. So there's a certain relationship that you have there. And I think from a veteran standpoint, the skill position players – in New Orleans are better than the young players in New York. So you got to look at Alvin Kamara versus Breece Hall. You got to look at a healthy Thomas versus a Garrett Wilson, or a healthy Chris Olave versus a Garrett Wilson and Elijah Moore. So I'm sure he's looked at all of that in making those determinations.
But Key, let me ask you. So
and the division, I mean conference.
We got into this in the first hour where we got into a debate around, you said, six head coaches for Derek Carr's career, right?
Yeah.
And how
a lot.
Tumultuous that is. And obviously, he is, I think he is a better than average quarterback that I still think could be part of a championship team. But if you're using that analogy, saying six head coaches, and you're saying the first head coach was Dennis Allen, isn't he back in the same bucket to a degree? Like, you don't know what's happened with Alvin Kamara. You don't know what's happened to Michael Thomas. I get that the money is the same, but now you're going back to the first head coach?
Yeah, but the head coach is only there for half a season.
Yeah, but we're still not sure about Dennis Allen. There were a lot of questions around Dennis Allen this year, even with all the injuries. Are we sure that Dennis Allen is going to be the future head coach of the Saints? Doesn't it seem like he is almost in the same boat to a degree?
No, because the
defense
Dennis
is a lot
Allen
better.
Dennis Allen is going to be the head coach. You have reservations based on, you know, them not living up to whatever it was expectations, but you also got to factor in the fact that they were injured, riddled. I mean, the team was just devastated with injuries. So you look at that as an ownership and a general manager, and you say to yourself, if you're Mickey Loomis, if we had these people in place, this would be a totally different team. They were close to making the playoffs, sub 500 teams. It wasn't like that they were out of the weeds. They had, I think, until I want to say probably week 15 or 16 of the season before they were mathematically eliminated from winning the division. It took like almost a miracle for Tampa Bay to win the division. Carolina controlled their own destiny. Then they basically poo-pooed it. And then New Orleans controlled their own destiny. They poo-pooed it. And then Tampa Bay took over. So I like the move to New Orleans. I think if they bring everybody back and they stay healthy, this team can make a strong run in the NFC conference.
It is interesting, though, Max, because they are $18.1 million over the cap already now.
Well, that's easy to get from underneath that,
just
though.
Continue to kick the can down the road.
I don't think Derek Carr is a difference maker in New Orleans. And by that, I don't mean he's a difference maker in terms of making the playoffs. I think he is, because it's a weak division, or at least on paper it is. But I'm wondering, guys.
The Bucs won it last year 8-9.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I just said. I get it. I literally just
made that
point.
I know, I'm doing what you do to me. I'm saying
what
you're
phrasing it.
See how frustrating it is? See how frustrating it is?
But the difference is I don't rephrase it as a cudgel to hit you with. I rephrase it as a way to buttress your point. You rephrase it in a way that makes it sound like you're disagreeing and putting me up on game. All right, listen. But the point is, Key, this is directed really at you.
Don't direct anything at me.
I'm directing it all your way.
Now, back to you, Keyshawn.
I liked Derek Carr on the Jets a lot because I think the Jets have a lot and they're going in the right direction. All they need is a guy just like him. Boom, you slide him right in, you're good. I think they'll be good with Jimmy G. But the Saints, to me, it feels like they need more, right? And so when I look at Derek Carr, I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah, you could win the division. I don't think you could do anything in the playoffs. I mean, maybe they could pop a team maybe in the next couple of years. But I don't really feel like, oh, my God, Derek Carr's going to the Saints. Look out.
Who would you have gotten?
If I were the Saints?
Yeah.
It's a good question.
Like, who's a better option than what's available
with Derek
Carr?
I probably would draft and develop a guy.
Nah, not with this team.
You
think that's going to help keep Michael Thomas?
No, but you can get better.
What are you talking about? You can
go
better.
You can go sign a guy like Carr or Jimmy G and draft a guy, right?
Yeah.
I think that once
they
you
might.
Lose
Drew, yeah, they might.
Yeah,
they might draft a guy.
Right.
No one's saying they're not going to draft a guy. They're going to cut Jameis Winston to save themselves some money. Hill is a Swiss Army knife. Andy Dalton is probably going to be, you know, they're probably going to send him packing. So you got two quarterback spots available. So they're going to probably draft a young dude.
Yeah, that's true. All right, maybe that changes it for me. As long as they're going to draft a young guy, I think I'm okay.
But Derek Carr's still
the
young.
Best option out there.
Derek Carr's not old. Derek Carr's only 31, 32 years old.
No, that's why I liked him on the Jets. I thought he had. Remember when you and I were talking about it? I said Derek Carr might give you five, six bites at the apple. You said three, maybe?
Yeah, but the Jets or New Orleans is good landing spots for him. Either or.
Let me tell you what I think.
It's an easier path in the NFC as of right now.
Agreed.
Based on Dak Prescott, Jalen Hurts, Geno Smith. Those are probably the three best quarterbacks, and now you add Carr to the mix, because I'm assuming Aaron Rodgers is gone. Let's leave Aaron Rodgers there. those five guys are probably the best five quarterbacks. Then you can start to add Daniel Jones, right, and then you can start, you know. But for the most part, those are probably the four to five best quarterbacks within the conference.
If they would have landed Lamar Jackson somehow, I'd be singing a very different tune.
Still makes me – all this stuff, I mean, I get Derek Carr signed, Geno Smith signed. It just – it still makes me wonder, Key, what the hell San Francisco is going to do. Like, because to me they have all the pieces, but you're still wondering about the quarterback piece.
They could use a guy like Jimmy G.
What are the 49ers doing? You're right there. You've been on the verge.
They're going to go with Trey Lance.
Yeah, of course they got to go with Trey Lance.
No choice now.
Just like with the Packers and Jordan Love.
It seems like they're a quarterback away.
But you got to remember, Trey Lance was the answer at the start of the season. Trey Lance got hurt. If he didn't get hurt, he'd have still been the starter.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career you'll love with flexibility, great pay and benefits, and one of the country's top workplaces? Come join their growing team. Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today. Don't forget, Herm Edwards was on the show yesterday talking about, you know, Jets fans should be talking Jimmy G. I agree.
Max, I like standing now. Because I'm looking down on you. I feel
yes,
very authoritative.
That's one way you can when I'm sitting and you're standing. Yes. It appears that you're taller than I am.
I look down on you.
No. Why would you look down on Max?
Yeah, why are you looking down on
someone?
Letting
him know where the pecking order is.
What kind of a person are you? You want to look down?
I'm a taller person.
Look down on a guy. Why do you want to look down on a guy smaller than you? That's such a bully attitude.
You know what I mean,
Keith?
I am a bully right now.
I feel that Jay is being a bully.
Yeah.
Don't make me stand up and show all the people how we're the same height.
Really nice sweater. Is that cotton or what is that?
It's cashmere.
It's cashmere, okay. Lift up the left sleeve, though. I want to see what's under the left sleeve.
No, we don't talk about why is Jay standing. Because Jay wants to stand.
What's
left sleeve.
What's going on you're not talking about?
No, what are you talking about?
All of a sudden you want to stand
up. It's like towering over you. I feel like Yao Ming right now.
I know what it is.
What's that?
It would be nasty for me to say.
Do I have to stand up?
Hey, yo. Max can barely stand.
More or less, Jay's a little taller.
Y'all look about the same size.
No. About to say more or less, Jay's a little taller.
Max,
I admit it.
Look at Max's back. Look how this. Look.
I have a back. Look at you. You're like on your tiptoes.
It's called good posture, Max.
Look at Max.
Max got
all right.
Jay, Max got that indent, though.
Yeah, that's a.
You know I have a herniated. You know I have herniated discs.
Might want
to fall in no doubt. Are you saying I related to this song? Can the Jets afford to wait for Aaron Rodgers? He's a baller. KJM.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We are joined now by Rich Cimini, ESPN New York Jets reporter.
Yo, Richie.
What's going on, Rich?
Good morning.
What's up, the buddy? Richer.
Good morning,
He has the worst nicknames for people, man.
What was it?
The Richer.
That's the Richer.
The Richer.
Browser. You just add ER to everybody's name.
Well, you know.
Me and Zamini go way back, Jay. Get out of this.
You know who is about to be Richer? A few quarterbacks.
Jeez, Max.
How serious were the Jets about Derek Carr, Rich?
It was like casual dating. You know, it was they went on a couple of dates. And, you know, they said a lot of flowery things publicly about how much, you know, how great Derek Carr is. In the end, the entire time, they had eyes for Aaron Rodgers. So I think he was always the Jets' fallback, meaning Derek Carr. The Jets still have eyes for Aaron Rodgers. That's been their number one from the get-go. That's who Woody Johnson wants. You know, from all indications, that's who everyone else wants in the organization. And I think we're going to find out something soon. Like within 24 to 48 hours, I think we're getting to that time.
What happens, Rich, though, if if she decides and Aaron Rodgers makes the decision that she's just going to stay home and you know, they're going to try to work it out. What happens to the Jets then?
Well, there's a lot of broken hearts in that one Jets drive because I think their entire offseason hinges on getting this guy. And there's just a fascination with them. We all know that they hired Nathaniel Hackett as their offensive coordinator. Key would relate to this. It kind of reminds me of 96 when the Jets went after Neil O'Donnell. They hired Ron Earhart, his coordinator from Pittsburgh, just to help get Neil to the Jets. And of course, they did. And I think that was part of the thinking with hiring Nathaniel Hackett was getting a friend of his from Green Bay in the building. And I do think the Jets have a legit shot at getting this guy. And if they don't, there's going to be a lot of disappointment and they're going to be on to plan C.
I don't know, Rich. Nathaniel Hackett is 0-for-1. I saw that panned out in Denver.
He is 0-for-1, yes.
If they don't land Aaron Rodgers, who's their next choice? Well, who do you think they get?
I believe Jimmy Garoppolo would be the next up. He will be a free agent on Monday. So, obviously, no compensation involved there. A different situation from the Rodgers situation. And then, Jimmy with, Robert Saleh, they were together for a few years in San Francisco, so there's that familiarity. And I think Jimmy would be the target. Now, Jimmy is not a lock to, just to come to the Jets. I think he's going to have other suitors because the Raiders, Josh McDaniel, obviously the connection from New England there, so I think the Raiders would be in play as well. So, but yes, I do believe Jimmy Garoppolo would be the next one in line for the Jets.
Rich Zamini of ESPN NFL reporter joining us this morning. I almost called you Newsday. Joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Rich, so with all of what's going on in the quarterback room for the New York Jets, where does this leave Zach Wilson? Have the Jets really admitted now they completely botched this particular draft pick?
They haven't used those words, Keyshawn, but essentially they have admitted that. I mean, here's a guy who starts from day one. He's their starter for the better part of 2 years, and all of a sudden they are saying, openly admitting the entire offseason that we are going to go out and get a veteran starter. Well, what does that say about Zach Wilson? Well, they say they want to keep him on the bench and they want to continue to develop him, but he's only got 2 years left on his contract.
Absolutely.
If you get an Aaron Rodgers, he's probably going to come for a couple of years. What happens to Zach Wilson? It's a highly unusual situation they're putting him in. I look historically, it's very rare for a team to draft a quarterback in the first round, start him for a couple of years, and then put him on the bench and return him to the lineup. It just doesn't happen. So I could see them keeping him with the hope that he gets some trade value. Maybe he plays well in the preseason, gets some trade value, and moving and trading him at some point. Maybe it's a year from now. But I just don't see Zach Wilson starting again for the Jets.
Boy, meantime, and they could have had Justin Fields.
Meantime, Jimmy
so, yeah,
G.
Long answer short, yes, they botched the pick.
Yeah, right. I mean, they cannot draft and develop a guy, right? Like, that's pretty clear. If you look at a team like Indianapolis.
Well, Chad Pennington was okay.
You're going back decades. If you look at the Colts, you go, you know what? They keep trying to take a guy, a reclamation project. Maybe it's time to draft and develop. You look at the Jets, you go, maybe it's time to go grab a veteran. Jimmy G is out there. He's out there, and he seems like he's the cheapest one. What about him?
Yeah, I mean, he would be the most cost-effective. I don't think he's going to bring in as much as Derek Carr. Derek got $37.5 million a year. I don't think Jimmy would go that high. Jimmy's only 32. He's won games. He's played in a similar system. Now, this is not the exact same system they used last year when Michael LaFleur was the coordinator. That would have been a perfect fit because it was basically the San Francisco offense. So they're using a version of the West Coast now with Hackett. And Jimmy is, look, he's a game manager. He's a system quarterback. But the Jets believe they have enough talent with Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson that they could insert a system quarterback and play to their defense and win football games that kind of way. So in that sense, Jimmy would be a really good fit. The big question with Jimmy is the durability. He's missed a bunch of games over the years because of injury, but a healthy Jimmy would be an ideal fit for the Jets.
Rich Zamini, ESPN New York Jets reporter. Appreciate the time, Rich.
All right, Richie.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
The richer
I mean, the idea that the Jets are even still talking about Zach Wilson, we want to say, like, there is talk about this negative trade value, I think. Does Zach Wilson
but that's
have
why you
value?
Try to. But that's why you try to figure out how to get a trade value up. What does that mean, a fifth-round pick? I mean, like,
the would Jets you give up not... a fifth-round pick to bring Zach Wilson into your organization?
Yeah.
You would?
Of course. Would? Yeah, I'd give up a fourth-round pick. Yeah,
a what?
Absolutely. I'll give up a fourth. I may even give up a third to bring him in.
So you think highly of Zach Wilson?
A third-round pick to take a look at a guy that many people, not just the Jets, felt was a first-round pick? Absolutely.
Well, you've taken a look at him. What do you think? You think he's worth a third? I'm impressed.
But Keo, I was going to ask you, with all the other stuff that you've seen him go through, you think there's still somewhat of a value there?
Look, you first of all, people need quarterbacks. Okay, so they gonna Christian Hackenberg bounced around as many Ryan Mallett bounced around. I mean, people they gonna take a look.
Who would you take, Jameis Winston or Zach Wilson?
I'd probably take Jameis Winston because yeah. I know I've Jameis seen him play.
Second. Yeah,
yeah, I've seen him play.
The list of some other people. Who,
no, but I'm saying when you try to trade for him. You know, you could probably get a third round pick, fourth round pick for him, probably.
I'm not giving you a third or a fourth, no.
Because it's also Zach Wilson at all.
It's also
you're bringing him into the locker room. He has some maturing to do. The talent,
but they're not
going
to be able to move him this year anyway.
Right. Well, that's true. Maybe it can build up
next year. Yeah, I'm talking about next year.
You know what it's going to be?
It's value. He's not going to play.
It's some OC or quarterbacks coach or head coach in the league somewhere who looks at him and goes, I see something there. I can do something with it.
Man, they bounced Josh Rosen around five different teams in a year.
And how'd that work out?
But they going to take – but, Max, the whole point is –
they're going to do it.
They're going to do it. They're going to find out what he is.
There are only X number of guys in the world who can play that position at a certain level. He's one of them. He's just not one of the 32. We'll see if he's one of the 64.
One of the 64.
Maybe. Ravens say talks with Lamar Jackson could go up to the tag deadline. That is 7.5 hours from now. Is it a mistake if they give Lamar the non-exclusive tag? KJM.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max were presented by Progressive Insurance. Guys, the Ravens say that talks with Lamar Jackson are going to go up to the tag deadline. The tag deadline is in 7 hours, 26 minutes, and 40 seconds from now. I mean, talk about pushing it to the last second. Jay, you have argued that the smart thing to do, the fair thing to do, is hit him with a non-exclusive tag.
There's obviously a bar on TV asking, why is Jay still standing? Seriously, aren't your legs tired? No. No, my legs aren't tired.
Why would his legs be tired? He's just been standing for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, and I only have one leg. Maybe that's why.
Well, then it should make it extra tired. Or do you have superhuman powers in that leg now, right? Like you got the one leg that's extra strong,
to compensate? To compensate.
Well, it's better than me. I got no legs that are extra strong. That's better than one leg. All right. Jay, you've argued that fairer for the Ravens, like better for the long-term relationship if something can be salvaged here, hit him with a non-exclusive tag. That way you're saying, hey, you know what, go prove us your market, and if so, maybe we'll will accept the fact that it's now what it costs. The Deshaun Watson market is the market. And if not, we'll get two first for you and you get your money. Key says, no, if you hit him with a non-exclusive tag, you're telling him that you're not really committed to him. 888-SAY-ESPN, what do you say? Because Ozzie Newsome, the Ravens executive vice president who drafted Lamar Jackson when a million teams passed in the first round, right, when they all basically passed in the first round, said Monday on the Bernie Kosar show with Hanford Dixon the following.
Well, I mean, the biggest thing is that we have a deadline tomorrow at 4 o'clock to put the tag on. And I know today and up until about 3:30 tomorrow, a lot of energy is going to be utilized in trying to get the deal done. And if not, we will put the franchise tag on him.
He's talking to the last really good quarterback, the Cleveland Brown or the whatever, you know, Cleveland had before they got Deshaun Watson, right? About the guy whose market he believes is now set by Deshaun Watson, the next good quarterback in Cleveland. Jeremy Fowler, ESPN NFL analyst on Get Up Monday. This is yesterday on the latest with Lamar.
Well, talking to several people around the league, they do believe that the Ravens have strongly considered using the non-exclusive franchise tag by Tuesday's deadline. That would allow other teams to put in offer sheets, long-term offers for Lamar that the Ravens could either match or decline. If they decline, they would get two first-round picks. Now, no firm decision has been made on this, but the expectation all along is that he will get one of the two tags. He will be locked in by Tuesday as a Raven contractually. After that is anyone's guess.
I set up
the
point of disagreement that you two had before. Key, could you explain why you believe it would be a mistake for the Ravens to non-exclusive tag Lamar Jackson?
Well, because he becomes a free agent at that point. Even though he's technically not a free agent, when you're non-exclusive, two first-round picks, teams can now offer whatever they want financially. And you have, just like the other 31 teams in this league, the one thing that they covet is a quarterback. They covet quarterbacks. That is the top priority. And you have one that you're willing to put on the open market, essentially. Now you have about 4 to 5 teams. You have the Carolina Panthers. You have the Atlanta Falcons. The New York Jets, potentially. Who else am I missing? You might got the San Francisco 49ers. You just don't know. But you'll have teams willing to say, we'll do that. We'll do that deal. Because we need what y'all got, and y'all willing to let us have it. And now they all of a sudden bidding against each other. Atlanta's bidding against Miami. Miami's bidding against Carolina, and Carolina's bidding against the Jets. And they all caught up in it, and there's another team that's bidding. And so you're sitting there, and you're looking at it, and you're going, okay, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they need a quarterback too. Nobody's talking about them. So you got all this going on, and that number continues to keep rising, just like it did with Deshaun. Deshaun originally was at about 180, 75 to 80 million. Cleveland said, we got 230 for you. You sure you want to take that 170 in Atlanta? You know what, man? No, I'm going to take the 230 mm-hmm. and go to Cleveland. Exactly. So all I'm saying is, it ain't going to be 230. Just start there. That's going
to
be more.
Because some team that he doesn't want to go to initially will have to overbid in order to get him to say yes.
Absolutely.
And then eventually he'll say yes to the money.
They got a chance to match. And if they only offered him 133,
they ain't ever going
to
match that. They're going to take the two draft picks. Okay,
yeah, exactly.
So Key has laid out why you don't hit him with a non-exclusive tag. Jay, why do you hit him with a non-exclusive tag?
So what relationship do you want to have with Lamar Jackson long-term? Right? If we're talking about Amazon money, YouTube money coming in, the rate for quarterbacks is going to continue to go up. Think about what we're talking about for Daniel Jones, whether we're debating whether you want to give him $42, $43 million a year. So my thing is, if you already feel it trending that way, and to me, I think this season was a huge case on why your relationship with him matters. He was hurt. He could have played. He chose not to play. He said, you know, I don't want to play. You guys already put me in a situation last year. You played around my money. So if the relationship is heading in a contentious manner, franchise tagging him, okay, all right, that's what you're going to do? I'll sign it. My back hurts. I can't play.
Some would argue he did that this year.
What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, but you know.
Hold on, let me finish, Key. So if that happens, that's one. Or if you want to work with me, give me the non-exclusive tag. Let the market dictate. If you don't believe that I can get that 235, that 238, let the market dictate what I can get, and then either pay me my money and I'll stay. I'll stay. You're paying me my money. Doesn't matter how I got here. I got here. I'll stay. Or then let me go.
Key, Jay makes a persuasive argument here.
You're going to have to let me go.
If they hit him with a non-exclusive tag, the relationship's salvageable because you're letting him get his money one way or another, whatever that money is. That persuades me. I think it's persuasive.
Yeah, but that number is going to be high. They're not going to want to go from 133 to 260. Well, so they're not going to want to do that.
So
he don't care. At that point, he's not going to care about the Ravens. He's caring about his money.
Of course.
And as far as him on the exclusive tag playing to my back hurt, you know they got guys, Jay, that all they do is sit around and read papers and look at this stuff. They got little rim glasses on, you know, and they sit there and they
– but
why don't you go ahead and send this to the clerk for me? They got lawyers that's waiting on that
type
of stuff.
But Key, that's not the point. The point is that you're thinking short term. Like, so what's going to change over the last 2 years? You haven't wanted to give me the money that I feel like I'm worth, right? So you're telling me you're going to tag me, and then a year you think that's going to give you more time to make me think, yeah, I'll take less money now?
You know, no. You guys are talking past each other. I just realized what it is. It's Key is not actually arguing with you. Against your argument from Lamar's point of view, Key, you appear to be to be arguing against Jay's argument from the Ravens' point of view. You're saying that the Ravens ought to do whatever it takes to keep Lamar Jackson, and that one of the weapons at their disposal or the tools is the exclusive franchise tag, which buys them time to work out a long-term deal that will be lower than the deal that Lamar will get if they non-exclusive tag him. Jay's way of doing it, the Ravens may lose Lamar, but Lamar makes the most money. Key's way of doing it, the Ravens are more likely to keep Lamar.
How are you more likely to keep Lamar?
Because Key is saying you have this exclusive franchise tag, you hit him with it. Now he's not going to be able to shop his services to jack that number up. And now they can come to some compromise on the number that's not 280. It's more like 230.
I'm going to watch Joe Burrow and other guys get their money. I'm going to watch them get bags. You think that's going to help the situation or make it worse?
But you can't.
Worse, Max.
Yeah, what about that, Key? It's going to sour the relationship. What about that, Key? The relationship.
You cannot non-exclusive him and think that nobody's going to snatch him up. If you non-exclusive him, you might as well kiss him goodbye.
Just be ready to pony up.
There is no matching. I'm not Jay. I'm not going to pony up. I'm at 133.
Yeah, but
I'm not giving you another.
So what's the solution?
Let's switch this around. Key, you're Lamar Jackson.
Yes.
What would you do?
What would I do?
If you want to get the most money you can, and you believe that your value is more than Deshaun Watson.
But I don't control.
I'm not asking
tags.
You. But Key.
You have to decide what tag you're going to tag me with.
I understand.
What tag you going to tag me with?
I know, but if you're not happy with what they're doing, and they gave you the franchise tag, right? You think after a year that they're going to talk you, Keyshawn Johnson, taking less money?
No, but Jay, if they tag me, I have to sign the tag.
I
won't get the money if I don't sign.
So what would you do? I'm asking you, what would you do?
If I got the exclusive tag, I'm going to continue to negotiate till June.
Okay,
I'm going to continue to negotiate.
That's fine that you're going to continue to negotiate, but you're that far off from each other. That's what I'm saying. You think
all I could do if you tag me exclusive me, all I could do is continue to negotiate till June. And then once June comes, if I don't sign the tag, I forfeit the money, but I also could ask to be traded. But now it's late in the game to be traded in June when people go into camp a month later. So I'm stuck
I don't think Lamar's stuck at all.
888-ESPN.
I think
does Jay persuade you or does Key? What would you do if you were the Ravens? What would you do if you're Lamar?
What would you do if you're Max?
Keyshawn, J. Will. Well, Max is going to
fix his back.
Pay some bills. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. What does Derek Carr's contract mean for Daniel Jones, by the way? You brought up Daniel Jones, Jay. And who should be more of a priority for the Giants? Who should be the priority, Daniel Jones or Saquon Barkley at this point, KJM?
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Giants should sign Daniel Jones and tag Saquon Barkley.
Once you tag the guy, nobody's giving up two first-round picks.
They're going to continue to negotiate with Saquon and Daniel.
Dream scenario, I am signing Daniel Jones and I'm tagging Saquon Barkley.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, we're going to get to that in a second. And I agree with Mike until Jones hits a certain number, and then you might as well tag Jones and sign Saquon, right? Like, that's the leverage the Giants have. By the way, when you're standing up and I'm sitting down, you look like a giant.
I told you I tower over you in real life.
That does it.
Nope, because you're going to have to read from your laptop down there.
All right.
Jay's been standing 22 minutes and 50 seconds so far.
Is there a timer? Oh, wow. Well, wow, there's really a timer.
Jay's last stand.
Oh,
that's
going.
Good. That
Jay's
is good.
Jay's last stand.
He's like Forrest Gump, but standing instead of running. All right. All right. You are kind of like that. Like, you're a star basketball player, and then you're an investor, and then you're on the radio, and then you're doing a podcast. Like, you have a lot of different things.
Still running.
Run, Forrest. Run. All right, look. Let's take some calls on the Lamar situation. You guys had a very interesting debate on this.
Compelling.
He says non-exclusive franchise tag him and then work out a deal, right? It'll be that's how you keep Lamar. And Jay says, no, non-exclusive franchise tag him, let Lamar get his money, find out what his market is, whatever that means. And either you can sign him, which Key says won't happen at that point, or you get your two firsts for him. Tony in Texas, you're on KJM ESPN Radio.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Key, I got to say, I love you, man, but I got to go with Jay on this one. I think, for the most part, I'm a Commanders fan, and I've seen the troubles that Kirk Cousins took on our team with signing that exclusive tag and holding our franchise kind of hostage with it. So if I were a GM, I would try, you know, let Lamar test the waters, see what he can get. See if you can sign him for that point. If not, at least you get some compensation in return.
There you go.
Yeah, well, you're probably going to get fired because you're getting ready to lose a lifetime generational, once-in-a-lifetime generational talent at the quarterback position, and you're not going to be able to replace that guy for two ones. So
that's why you
probably
got the system, Key.
You're probably going to wind up getting fired, but that's on you.
Question for you, Key.
Yeah.
I have a question for you.
And I have an answer for you, I'm sure.
So if that's the case with Lamar, and so far it is, sometimes I do this like – in baseball, if a team I root for, the Yankees, sign a guy, I think, wait, what are they really saying with this contract? They signed a catcher, Brian McCann, out of Atlanta, who had half a Hall of Fame career at that point. And based on the contract, I thought, Yankees seem to be betting that this dude's going to make the Hall of Fame based on the contract. That he's going to do what he just did, right, over the next 5 years. He didn't. He was okay, but he wasn't that. But he was solid. When you talk about Lamar Jackson this way, if he lives up to a contract in the Deshaun Watson territory, or even beyond Deshaun, you're betting that he's going to do going forward at least what he's done in the past. Key, if he does that and has increased playoff success, he's going down among the very greatest quarterbacks who ever lived. Do you believe that's in Lamar's future?
Yeah, absolutely. What you don't do is you don't draft players, develop them, and let them walk out the door. They drafted Lamar Jackson, they developed him, and you're going to let him walk out of the door? So no, you don't. That's not what you do when you're building a franchise. You don't.
You made the investment.
The New England Patriots didn't draft Tom Brady in the sixth round, and 6 years later, we'll let him walk out the door. So then you don't. You don't do that.
So give him his money.
And if not,
that's
let him
the whole the point. They should give him the money.
Yeah, so but, you're but saying give him 231.
They don't give him the money. But if they don't give him the money and they put the non-exclusive on him, somebody else will give
but
him the money.
The point is, Keith, they don't want to give him the money.
Yep.
That's the bottom line.
They don't
at the
think
end
he's
of the day,
it.
Regardless of whether they franchise tag him two times.
Well, I don't think they're going to put the non-exclusive on just so that you know.
I know
we're going to find out
all
in
I'm saying is
seven
that
hours.
We are delaying the inevitable.
Right.
If you don't want to give him his money now, you're not going to want to give him his money a year from now. So if his stock continues to go up, then what? You're in the same boat?
Well,
you're having the same conversation.
What you do?
Because I always agree with the last guy who talked.
If they exclusive him and they can't come to a deal come June, what you do is if you're Lamar Jackson is you sign and you play for the $45 million. That's what you do. And then if you can't come to an agreement the next year, you know what you do? You sign and you play for the $50
million. Yeah, see,
and
you
then
know,
you walk out of the building, close to $100 million. Now you can go on the open market
$300 million.
And get $350 million yeah. because the market will shift and change again based on the quarterbacks that have already signed.
I like this strategy. It sounds right, like theory-wise. I do get worried about the most violent sport that we have in this game and the fact that now it's 2 years in a row that I've been hurt.
Yeah, Lamar wants to hedge against injury, too. He wants guaranteed money because he realizes the risks, of course.
Well, I mean, if you're thinking $95 million isn't guaranteed money in 2 years, then there's nothing else I can
salute
I
mean,
I don't
to you, Don Corleone. All right. If you think $1 million is just
injuries.
Finance, salute to you, Don Corleone.
There are injuries that occur that can make you look at that differently, though.
Can the Giants
question.
Guys, can the Giants reach a deal with Daniel Jones meantime? Jeremy Fowler, ESPN NFL reporter on the 12 o'clock Sports Center, talked about the latest on Daniel Jones' contract negotiations.
The Giants have been negotiating feverishly with Daniel Jones' representatives over the last week, trying to hammer out a deal, which over 4 years would be in excess of $160 million, maybe more, depending on where they land. But I'm told the Giants have a big offer, a big number on the table. That number could include a four in the front of it, so we'll see how things shake out. But they have the artificial deadline up until 4 o'clock on Tuesday, the franchise tag deadline. If the Giants can't reach an agreement with Jones, they are expected to tag him at that $32 million number. That leaves questions around Saquon Barkley, who would be set to hit free agency in about 6 days after that. They would risk losing him. They want to keep both in a perfect world, but it's going to be tough.
Key, I liked, you're right, like I liked signing Jones, tagging Saquon until the number gets too high. If the number starts to reach into the mid-40s, then you might as well tag Jones and sign Saquon. It'll be cheaper.
Yeah, but they're gonna get a deal done with Daniel Jones though. That deal will get done.
You think they tag Saquon?
If they don't get a deal done with Daniel Jones, I mean they get a deal done with Daniel Jones, yeah, they'll tag Saquon.
Yeah.
And then get a deal done with him.
I just think I'm with you on this one, Key, on Daniel Jones. I just think in 3 years we'll be looking at a lot of quarterbacks. That'd be paid around that rate of $41, $42 million.
$41, $42 is okay.
It feels high now, but it won't feel high in a couple of years.
No, $41, $42 is okay.
Starting quarterbacks are north of $35 million.
Yeah.
That's what starting quarterbacks in the National Football League that are not on their rookie deals are getting.
$41, $42 is okay. Over, you know, how many years guaranteed, it gets into a whole thing. But the Jalen Brunson deal that you point out is an interesting comp. Can Derek Carr lead the Saints to a Super Bowl this year, KJ?
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.